Hey, Rock Church family. My name is Antonio, and we are here at the Rock Life Podcast. Hey, yeah. Pastor Dan.
Hey, everybody. Good to be with you once again this week.
Hey, we're so excited. Again, you know, I do want to say it is such a privilege that you guys would be joining us. We're coming up on almost a year.
Wow.
And topic after topic, week after week, you have been with us, comments. We encourage you to like, share, subscribe. We turned on those comments so you can make a comment, ask a question. We love getting to those as we cover some of these topics. Today, we're going to be talking about guilt and shame. So we want you to watch all the way through.
There you go.
Stay with us all the way through.
I'm like, where is he going with this?
Because we want to talk about guilt and shame in the way of like, hey, how do I deal with this? What is this?
Yeah.
That's not for us as believers, right? So,
big topic.
We're going to get into that.
Yeah.
I do want to ask Pastor Dan.
Yes, sir.
There's a big thing that happened this last weekend. Some people woke up to some notifications of a huge trade in the Laker world. I understand many people aren't Laker fans, and maybe not even basketball fans. But this was a big shakeup in the NBA world.
And yes.
As a Laker fan.
Yeah. And I heard, you know, the guy that got traded was like, what?
So they had both just closed on multi-million dollar mansions in their respective states. So as to help support the idea that it was a shock. Because, you know, usually there's like, oh, yeah, no, I didn't know. I had no idea. You know, were they really requesting a trade? You know, but,
man,
you know, we're not sportscasters. I don't have a full take on it. But I do, as a Laker fan, I enjoyed watching AD, and it seemed like he was balling out.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And you actually got to go see a Laker game.
Actually, yeah. Last night I went and saw them play. Yeah. And
Crosstown rivals.
Crosstown. They were with the Clips.
Well, is it really a rivalry when, even when we're away, we're home? Come on now. Was there more Laker jerseys or Clipper jerseys?
You know, what's funny is I was listening to the volume levels of Clippers versus Lakers, and I'd say it was an even spread.
Okay.
There was definitely more red and white than there was yellow and gold.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, Clipper fans showed up.
Okay.
Clip Nation or whatever they call themselves. I don't know. But, it was fun. And a great time watching those guys play. LeBron was a force on that court still. Yeah. And, the guy's almost my age. And I can't play like that at my age. But, literally at one point, there was three guys running for the ball, and he dove and slid across to go and grab that ball. And I'm just like,
that's impressive.
Man. That's impressive. Yeah, yeah.
If I dive, I'm feeling it for some time.
He might have been feeling it. Yeah. You know, he did kind of walk slowly away after they helped him up off the court. So, yeah.
No, that's great. Well, our sponsor this week, Pastor Dan, is we are having an ISOM conference.
The International School of Ministry Regional Conference.
Yeah.
People are coming from all over the world to join us here at the Rock Church World Outreach Center. Right in the middle of that, we're doing a pastor's refreshing for pastors, local pastors all over the world that are going to be with us. And so we're just super excited to see what God does.
Yeah.
I was telling somebody just recently that, people can go find out about how to do kids ministry or how to do groups or best practices in administration.
Of course.
A lot of that stuff's online. There's videos, there's websites, there's resources, there's books, all this stuff, right? But where do ministers and pastors go just to have that space to connect with God, to be around people of like faith as well? Similar activity, what they're involved in and invested in, and be able to just have that space to, you know, either ask a question or just know someone's there for them, praying for them, different things like that. And so we're excited to host, excited to have, that time to see what God wants to do in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then as well, that weekend, we're going to have John Bevere with us.
Oh, man, that's
preaching
exciting.
The word. And so we love John. He calls himself Uncle John. So your uncle's coming to town.
There we go.
And he's not the crazy uncle. He's the best, man. John Bevere, there's not many like him. You know what I mean? He's a gentleman. He's wonderful. And I absolutely love. We took our church through the Awe of God series.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And just amazing revelation. So I'm excited to see what God does during this time.
That's incredible. And I really love that, you know, as a church, as a ministry, we're sowing into these activities. We're sowing into the regional conference. We're sowing into the pastors gathering, meaning it's absolutely free for these pastors.
Yes.
We recently went to a pastors gathering, which was great, anointed, had an amazing time, but it cost us hundreds of dollars to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to offer this free of charge for
just
to keep finances from being the last thing that they have to worry about.
Just get here.
And again, just the generosity of our church, of our ministry, of you guys as pastors to sow in. It really is. I'm looking for it. And again, I know we talk about this often, but we believe it pleases the Lord. And when
absolutely.
The Lord is pleased.
So yeah. For any of you that want to share with a pastor friend that you know, or if you're a pastor, go to isom.org for the full conference details, or thepastorsgathering.com for just the pastor's one-day refreshing. And you can sign up and register online, and we would love to host you at that time. So yeah.
One last thought on that. One of the really cool things that helped me put into perspective here is because, again, when you think of internationally, there are some leaders that are going to be here from Madagascar, right? And if you wonder, like, oh, that's the cartoon. Like, it's the island there on the continent of Africa. And so maybe a couple people are coming from there, but those couple people represent literally tens of thousands of believers.
Yes.
Because they are leaders over networks of leaders and networks of churches that represent tens of thousands of believers in these places. So, you know, we think like, oh, impact-wise, number-wise, this is going to be a very impactful time.
Absolutely. We have a leader coming from Bangladesh that oversees over 350 churches.
Wow, it's amazing.
So you think about that, how many people are in each. And even if they're small churches, that's still a lot of people when you start to add up everything and the impact that they're having. And so we're just really in awe of what God does and the impact that God uses from this house and this church, as well as the International School of Ministry, Dr. Baron Gilfillan, and Good Shepherd Ministries worldwide. I mean, I don't know of a more effective missions program than the International School of Ministry, changing the theology of the world, literally with Bible resources and teaching and solid, you know. So just absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, this wasn't a commercial, and I just felt led to share this. Maybe you're watching and you think about that, and something inside you thinks like you have something for the world, right? But yet it can be difficult to step outside of our context and even understanding and knowledge of church. But when you are called to these places to do these things, I mean, that impact is just, it's huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes our metrics that we are used to just culturally and in our society in modern day Western culture or wherever it is you're from, whatever metrics you use, our metrics aren't always God's metrics.
No.
What we see it as success is not always the way that God is seeing it. And so when these are the kind of perspectives that I know have helped me, even just like preparing for whatever, like, oh, who's going to be there? And again, you could think about that with your family, like, you know, you're watching and like, I'm only doing this, and what can I really do? I can only do this and that. It's like, man, the impact that we have.
Right.
And so that was the encouragement I thought about that.
That's wonderful.
But I do want to go into our topic that we talked about today, Pastor Dan. We are in week three of this series called What's the Big Idea?
Yeah.
And as we talked before we started the recording, you know, we have a couple weeks to go, but I see what you're doing here in painting this picture of the big idea and what you've been talking about for weeks. Remember, you're like, for weeks, it's coming.
Yeah, and then now it's here.
These last few weeks, man, each verse is just full of, man, it could almost be a mini series within each verse because of it's just compact with so many theological concepts and implications and, man, doctrines are, and I know I'm using big churchy words, but in layman's terms, these are ideas, Pastor Dan, that really shape our walk with Jesus. So I can see why you saw it fit to take our time as we go in here and really break down. And so I do appreciate that. In that vein, shame.
Yeah.
Guilt. Justification. Righteousness are some of the topics. And I really feel this past weekend, you really were hitting on some of these things.
Yeah.
Of that guilt. And I think the question I'm asking is, in just dealing with our own lives, people who have walked away from faith or people who have yet to find themselves coming to faith, this concept of guilt and shame oftentimes is in the forefront of the conversation.
Yeah.
Meaning that, well, I was doing this, but, you know, I just, you know, that whole thing is just, I don't want to be shamed, right? And in our society, again, there's body shaming, there's don't shame me, don't this is who I am, this is where I'm at. And the reality is Scripture backs up that idea that we shouldn't have shame.
Yeah, no.
And why is that? What maybe do you, if you can, in a nutshell, give us the notion of guilt and shame and...
You know, it's amazing to me because, you know, when I became a pastor, I noticed that there were some changes in people around me. And one of those changes was that when I would walk into a space, let's say I got invited to someone's birthday party, right?
Yeah.
Before being a pastor, I'd show up and, hey, Dan's here. Yeah, all right. Yeah, yeah. Hey, it's so good to see you. Come in. Right, you want anything to drink? There's food over here. All right. Hey, everybody, Dan's here. You know, great. Well, once I became a pastor, they would open the door. Hey, everybody, Dan's. Oh, sorry. Pastor Dan is here.
Right.
You're laughing because you've experienced this, huh? And it's almost like...
It's only water, Pastor.
Yeah, no. Immediately, you know? There's some drinks. I'll get you a drink. You know, like, I don't want you to see what's in my fridge, you know? And all of a sudden, people get all uncomfortable around me.
Yeah.
And there's inevitably someone who's going to come up with their head down, and they're going to say, Pastor, it's good to see you. I know I haven't been in church for... And all of a sudden, there's a confessional going on. And I'm going, I didn't wear the collar. Yeah. I'm not in a booth. You know, what's happening right now?
Yeah.
And I recognize that because a pastor carries the presence of God, representing God to people in many ways, just like in the Old Covenant, the prophet represented God and the word of the Lord that would come to the prophet, that people would go to them to hear the word of the Lord. In the same way, people are... Many times, even though we have the Holy Spirit, we have every availability in prayer and in our lives to access God through His Word, that there is something unique about a pastor. And the Bible says that pastors are shepherds, if you will, that lead the people, feed the people, guard the people, all those things. And so there is a special place that pastors have. Now, with that, a lot of times people are not tapping into the presence and the availability that they have to God aside from the man of God or the pastor, right?
Yeah.
So when they feel the presence of God that comes with you, all of a sudden something happens. What happens when we see a holy God? We recognize how unholy we are.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
Right?
Yeah.
Isaiah, here's a man of God. Here's a guy who's prophesying woes to the nation. And then the final woe he pronounces when he sees God is on himself. Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And it takes God stepping in with the coals from the altar to say, hey, this has touched your lips. Now you're clean. And then from that moment on, he says, here I am, send me.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the thing about our lives. When we bring God to the party, everyone looks around at themselves and goes, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm sinful. Just like Isaiah, when we get a real picture of the holiness of God. So here we are talking about righteousness, the right will, the right way of God. God is right in all he is. It's who he is. It's what he is. It's his divine nature, right? Righteous. But it's also what he does. He does and works righteousness. When we get a picture of that, and then we take a look at who we are in the flesh, even as a Christian, we still mess up, right?
Yeah.
So when we contrast ourselves with a holy God, now all of a sudden what happens, we look at ourselves and we go, man, I'm unholy.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And then when we take a look at our works versus the works of God or what God wants us to do, we say, wow, I'm unrighteous. You know? And that's where there's this concept that we hit called guilt and shame. Right? The law pointed to us where we were guilty. It showed us, hey, like I think a great one the Apostle Paul uses in the book of Romans later on, we'll cover it, is that the law pointed out covetousness. And he says, I didn't even know what covetousness was or why it was bad until the law pointed it out. And then all of a sudden on the inside of me, all sorts of covetousness raised up. Why? Because now the law was there saying, hey, you shouldn't be having that desire. And he's going, oh, I didn't even realize, but I'm coveting that thing, you know? And so that's where, when we see how holy God is, the law would condemn. You're guilty. But the beautiful thing that we discuss is justification. It's this declaration that God makes over us when we believe of us being righteous now. You are right with God because I've declared you to be right. Now, we understand that in the natural, there's still fingerprints on that.
Right.
Somebody did that. It happened.
Yeah.
For sure it happened. And so that's where we have to remember, hey, those fingerprints, though, now that I'm born again, are no longer my fingerprints. They're that old dead man that did those works. But now I'm a new man. And so that's no longer me. So there's this dual reality that we live in. We live in the flesh. We still have this earth suit that wages war against our spirit. And many times when we mess up, we carry guilt and shame. But as Christians, we don't carry it like the world does. And this is where I believe a lot of times people, in one of two ways, will go. Either they'll go on the side of hyper. There should be no bad feelings. No guilt, no shame, which we say, yeah, no guilt, no shame, according to the way the world does, right?
Yes.
So we don't carry that. Mm-hmm. But if we don't ever feel bad about our sin, and we say, oh, I don't need to repent, then we're in error as well.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the one way. The other way is that we do what God says to do, and that is to feel bad about what we've done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then we confess it, we repent of it, and we move forward from
it. Yeah.
Right?
That makes sense.
Being mindful that I'm not going to do this again because I know what that did to the heart of God.
Yeah.
I know that what that did to me or to others,
right?
Whoever that impacts. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I'm going to do everything I can to fear God and to stay away from those things.
Right. Right.
So, you know, that's where many times Christians will be battling those things. And like I said, some of them will just avoid it altogether and just go off the deep end. And many times I find people that do that aren't even in church in a year or two.
Yeah.
You know, because they're like, well, why do I need church? I shouldn't feel guilty about not going to church.
Right.
That's absolutely foolish, right?
Right.
But another equally erroneous way is that we do nothing but beat ourselves up, you know?
Yeah.
I've known people who would just belittle themselves, the words of their mouth, I'm a worm, I should just crawl into a hole and die.
Yeah.
Those sorts of language you're a child of God.
Yeah.
God's justified you. It's just as if you'd never sinned. He's wiped the slate clean.
Right.
The handwriting of requirements has been washed away, wiped away. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you. You stand perfect like Adam and Eve in the garden.
Yeah.
That's who you are. You're a saint, right?
Yep, absolutely.
You're one of the church of Almighty God, the ecclesia. Yeah. You're the ruling, reigning. You're a king and a priest. You know, we have to understand our in him realities so that we don't beat ourselves up and live under that guilt and shame, which the devil will bring condemnation.
Well, and I feel like that's what I see a lot of.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people living in condemnation because, like you said, the standard is God's holiness.
Yes.
We know we don't measure up. And that gap is filled by justification, right? So it's kind of like the what we'd be missing, God fills in our space, makes us righteous.
Yes, that's the positional being made righteous truth that we live in, the right standing, the right position, or good standing with God, is the position, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Jesus made up for in his flesh on the cross.
Yeah. And so we know that to be true, yet the condemnation part, which is like you clarified, is from the devil.
Condemnation is from the devil.
And so
conviction, though, is from the Holy Spirit.
So conviction does what?
Conviction.
Please clarify.
Yeah, because this is an important distinction, because this is where Christians can either get into condemnation or conviction, right? They can get into guilt and shame and feel condemned and do nothing, or they can feel bad about their sin with a godly sorrow, be convicted by the Holy Spirit, and allow that to be their guiding conscience that leads them to repentance. So I think the hard part is that the feeling is similar.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
We understand when we feel guilty, when we feel bad about what we did. Mm-hmm. Okay? Condemnation, though, says, that's it. This is the sentence. You're done.
Okay. Yep.
Conviction says, hey, that's wrong. Let's change.
So would you say it's our response to the feeling? The feeling's the same.
It feels the same.
That was not right.
I think.
But now instead of.
I think the direction it's coming from.
Okay.
If it's coming from the Holy Spirit, you know it's going to be for building you up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be for growing you up, maturity, right? If it's coming from the devil, it's going to be to stop you.
Right.
To hinder you, to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. If it's taking away, it's the devil. If it's building up, it's God, right?
Yeah.
If it's stopping, defeating, deleting, you know, then you know it's the devil.
Right.
If it's pushing, urging, if it's motivating and moving you towards godliness, you know it's God, right? Now, our response is whether we're going to walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh.
Right. Because, yes, I love that. Because too many people that are not walking with Jesus got there because it was just hard. The weight of failure was too much. So it just becomes easier to like, well, I'm not going to, like you said, I'm not going to live in shame. I'm not going to live in guilt.
Yeah.
This isn't loving. This isn't a good feeling. I'm just, and then they just kind of change their worldview or perspective so as to not have to deal with any of that.
Some
because
do.
They were carrying the weight.
Right. Some do. And then the other thing that happens is I find so many people that when I talk to them, that they feel such guilt and shame that they're not diving in, mm-hmm. but they continue in that unrepentant behavior, yeah. and they feel so guilty that when you approach them, when you talk to them, mm-hmm. all they can do is just well up with tears.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And again, they're stopped. Mm-hmm. They're literally just stunted mm-hmm. in their growth and their walk with God.
Yeah.
And they can't go any further. It's almost like, you know, there's an interesting scripture about Abraham's father. And his name was Terah.
Yeah.
Terah had a son named Nahor. Mm-hmm. Now, Nahor died.
Yeah.
Okay? So Terah is taking Abraham and Abraham's nephew Lot, Abraham's wife Sarah, and they're traveling towards the promised land. Now, he didn't have a word from God or anything like that. He was just headed that direction.
Yeah.
But he came to a city that bore the name of his dead son. And the Bible says that they stopped, the whole family stopped there. Mm-hmm. And it says that Terah died in that place that bore the name of his son. Mm. Could it be, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But could it be he could not get past that death?
Right.
And it stopped him in progress. Here, God was moving this family towards the promised land.
Right.
And Abraham had to get a word from God, now go to the land that I will show you.
Yeah.
Right? But his father, Terah, may have had that call. Mm. We don't know if he had a word or not,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably not.
Right.
The Bible would tell us that,
yeah.
you know, some of those details.
Yeah.
But at the very least, something inside of him was moving him towards that, and he stopped at that place.
Right.
And I think that's what I see in some people is that when they mess up, when they sin, they can't get over it. Mm-hmm. They can't get through it. I think that's probably a better word.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they end up stopping at the name of the place that bears that.
Right.
That challenge, that right. death, that sin, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And they end up dying there.
Yeah.
They don't go any further. Mm-hmm. And that's sad to me because there's so much potential in every believer.
Yeah.
You know, God doesn't want us to stop at those things. That's why Jesus died.
Yeah.
Was to take care of that sin issue. That's why he gives us the Holy Spirit, is to help us with the sanctification issue, right?
Yes.
And I think this is where, you know, this word sanctification has massive implications for the believers. We are sanctified. We are set apart,
yeah.
right? And that's what sanctification is. It's a being set aside as holy. It's almost like a cake that you say, hey, no one touch this. This is for the birthday party, right?
Yeah.
When you set that aside, you sanctified that cake,
yeah.
right? Now, someone may come along and sanctify themselves a little slice before the party, but that's beside the issue, right?
But what's the joke about dessert before dinner?
Oh, man. You got it to have dessert before dinner because Jesus could come back at any moment. Okay, so
I was remembering that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I tell you, when I sit down,
Pastor Dan said, we gotta
eat the cake first because Jesus could come back. He will make sure you get those calories in before you get a new body, right?
Yeah, there we go.
Let's go for it.
And so, we have the faith that he can carry us.
He can lift me. Man, that was an online thing, wasn't it? Yeah. That's great.
I took you off the train of that.
No,
you're
no,
all
no.
spiritual. And
sanctification. I'm still there.
Yeah,
I'm still
okay,
there, right? So sanctification, though, is more than God's work in us that sets us aside. There's a process of sanctification that we as believers go through where we set ourselves apart, where we clean up our lives, where we, and it takes time. You know, just like Jesus took time for him to die on the cross, right? His flesh was crucified to that cross. Mm-hmm. Same thing with us. If we're crucified with Christ, it's going to take time for us to die to our sin.
Yeah.
And to go through that process of sanctification, of setting ourselves aside. Mm-hmm. And that's why Jesus said, take up your cross daily.
Yeah.
Right? It's a process. Every day we have to take up that cross. Every day we have to make the same choices.
Right?
I'm going to follow Jesus today. Mm-hmm. It's part of my prayer life in the morning. God, I choose to serve you, to love you, to fear you wholehearted this day.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. Every day I'm recommitting myself to the Lord. Not that I'm like thinking I'm not saved if I don't do that. I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm set apart. I'm holy. Yeah. But today I'm sanctifying myself. I'm setting myself apart. I'm a holy man of God.
Amen.
And I'm going to clean up my act.
Right.
I may have messed up yesterday, but not today. I'm going for God, right?
Yeah.
And we deal with the sin issue. We confess it. We repent of it. We turn from it. And we keep following God.
I know, you know, daily affirmations are kind of a big thing. But really, when you're declaring the word of God over your life and saying some of these things, they're truths that are going to build up your spirit man
Absolutely.
Or your spirit woman. You know, you mentioned being stunted by guilt and shame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I'm sure we've both seen things in the physical that match that spiritual. Because I've almost seen people that literally are stunted, hunched over. You know, you come talk to them, they come up for prayer, and they're literally kind of bowed down, hunched over. And I've been able to see part of God healing them there on the spot, of just kind of a restoration of burdens lifted. Yeah. I know there's many times we open up the altars, and what do we say? Come up here, lay your burdens down. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Absolutely.
And I think of, you know, the yoke of the law, the yoke of sin is a heavy burden on
it
us.
Is.
But when we allow Jesus to, if we partner up with him, man, I've physically seen people different, right?
Yeah, they stand up straighter. Just
have a smile. They're not, because they're free of guilt and shame. Still have conviction when they mess up.
Yeah.
But they can make these declarations, and the knowing that we're sanctified is so powerful.
Yeah.
For that reason, right? Because that, I think, is that the, maybe not the cure is a strong word, but the counteractive of guilt and shame is the truth of our sanctification.
I think when we come back to godly sorrow, right? If guilt and shame is the stopping, demotivating factor, right?
Right, yeah.
Then godly sorrow is the motivating factor, because the Bible says that godly sorrow leads us.
Yeah.
Leads us to what? To repentance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To a change of heart and mind.
Yeah.
To a change of direction, a change of, right. of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay? But think about that for a second. If we just stopped at the sentence, godly sorrow leads us.
Yes.
Right? So if we're talking about being stunted or stopped, godly sorrow is going to push.
Right.
It's going, I mean, not push in the sense, right. it more leads, right? Yeah. It's drawing us, because God isn't a domineering mm-hmm. force in our lives. He's a gentleman that will lead us to repentance, right? Yeah. The goodness of God leads men to repentance.
Yeah.
These are beautiful thoughts when you think about it, because yes, you should feel bad about your sin, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But don't stop there.
Right.
Let the Spirit of God, let the sorrow of God, let even the fact that you can feel and sense, ooh, the Holy Spirit was quenched because of that. He's not happy. He's not pleased. Okay. Yeah. What do I do? All right. I need to change, right? And that it starts in your mind, but it drops down into your heart.
Yeah.
This is the seat of your mind, your will, and your emotions. The soul and spirit live here.
Yeah.
Right?
That's good.
And that's where, when you have that motivation here, not just here, because here will be behavior modification, and you that's can do good. Something, and you can right. mind over matter and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You can only go so far, but when it drops in here.
That's right.
Nothing's going to stop you.
Right.
And that's where, when you're linking up with the Spirit of God and saying, God, from my heart, I repent, I turn. Mm. I'm so sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. Right. The Bible says he's faithful, just to forgive us and to cleanse us, right?
So good.
And then from that point of cleansing is where we work that process of sanctification. Okay, I felt bad. God has forgiven me, and now I'm going to live in that forgiveness,
right?
And I'm going to do those things that are pleasing to God. And you know, when God has a smile on his face, everybody has a smile on their face,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
You know, when you know God is pleased, there's a pleasure that you feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know when I'm doing the will of God, when I do something that I believe pleases God or puts a smallest faith, mm-hmm. I can sense it. I can feel it. Just like I can feel the displeasure, I can feel the pleasure.
Right. Yeah.
And that's actually something that becomes addictive. You start seeking it, like, man.
Yeah. Right.
Love it when God smiles.
Right.
You
want
know?
The approval of our Father.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. I love it when God's happy, you know?
Yeah.
And therefore, we seek to do those things. You know, Jesus said, I always do those things that please my Father.
Mm-hmm.
No bones about it. I'm doing everything God wants me to do, right?
Right?
He wasn't cocky or arrogant. He was confidently stating a truth.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, when we allow Christ in us to live his life through us by faith,
we're
going to do those things that are pleasing to the Father, mm-hmm. and we're going to experience his pleasure.
Yeah.
And that's the best feeling.
Right.
Best feeling.
I was talking to somebody about one of the best one of the best ways to move past people pleasing is to, not that you stop caring for people, but care more about what God says.
Yes.
And be so assured. Be so sure that you're doing what he says, that it's like, hey, sorry that this might hurt you, but I'm doing what he says. I'm worried about pleasing him. Bummed that it offends you. I'm not trying to. So in other words, you don't have the power over me anymore. It's not that I'm trying to be mean.
Right.
But if you've ever talked to someone who's secure, I mean, I would say you're this way, Pastor Dan. Like, when you have a directive, it's not like you're a mean guy, but it's just like, oh, like it or not, I'm pleasing God.
Right.
And that becomes very clear. So it's not like the jerky position. It's, oh, I'm a submitted person. This is a submitted position.
Yeah.
And I can see how that pleasing God above anybody else, anything else, becomes a place where we want to be and walks us out of guilt and shame. And those are, they're heavy weights. It's a very real thing, Pastor.
Yeah. No,
but it's
it
not
is.
What God calls us to. And I think that's why we wanted to talk about this, because there are so many people kind of in that limbo, and where's, Where's the healthy amount of guilt and shame? Which, you know, I that's probably oxymoronic, but like you're saying, there's the idea of that allowing Holy Spirit to convict us and feeling bad,
right?
But not shameful,
right? Yeah, and that distinction is important. Once we understand that, then we can navigate those waters of what to do when we sin.
Yeah,
it takes maturity, and you know we're not going to be perfect at even this process, and that's where allowing God to lead us through it. You know. With okay, what is this that I'm feeling? Where should I take this?
Right.
You know, is it tears at the altar? Mm-hmm. Is it confession?
Yeah.
To another person. Sometimes there's some tremendous healing in that. Yeah. You know, and the Bible says to confess your faults to one another. You know,
and
that's where we've tried to be transparent and open and honest with even our faults. You know, I've often had to stand in front of the church and say, "Hey, I'd have a fight with my wife," or you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And yet I'm standing in front of you. A man like you are, and yet God has forgiven us, and we're moving forward. You know, I wasn't right; I was wrong. When I mess up with my kids, I'm the first to tell them, "Guys, Dad was wrong."
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Please forgive me.
Yeah,
and that in that there's healing in those relationships and things like that. And I think that's where, when we as believers start to follow God's ways and we learn these truths and we start to operate in them, we realize there's such freedom in them.
Yeah,
you know, freedom from guilt, freedom from condemnation, freedom from shame. Now, the things that we do may be shameful, right?
Yeah.
And they may be hard to work through.
Yeah.
But it's worth working through. It's worth that process of sanctification, getting things out of your life that you need to get out of your life and stopping bad behavior and habits and things that we go through, you know, no matter how shameful. Mm-hmm. Listen, all of it is sin and all of it can be redeemed by the blood of the Lord.
Amen.
Right?
So good.
And so I love the way the Bible says, and such were some of you, you know, after he just listed all these heinous sins that we're like, oh my gosh, you know, and he's like, yeah, you guys were doing that.
Right.
You know, and I know in our day and age, I mean, let's be real, let's not kid ourselves. People are doing this stuff, right?
Yep.
Nothing's changed in that sense. Yeah. And yet we can still be justified, we can be washed, we can be sanctified, set apart.
So good. Pastor, would you close us out in prayer?
Again,
anyone listening that would be encouraging that and just struggling with it or maybe wanting to walk someone through something like this,
For the weight
of those things, if you'd lead us in prayer.
Well, I just those of you that are experiencing this weight right now. And just sensing that, you know, maybe there's that monkey on your back or that demonic voice just saying, you're so guilty, you're so wrong, you should be ashamed of yourself. And it's condemnation, it's guilt and shame. And you know it's not of God, it's not leading you anywhere. I'm going to pray this prayer specifically for you right now. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are watching and listening. I pray, Father God, no matter what time or distance there is from this recording, God, that, Father, that your power would reach them right where they're at in the eternal here and now, God, that you can step into their moment and in their time and touch their hearts, God. I pray that they hear your Spirit speak to them clearly. And I pray, God, that as they hear your voice, that they would follow you, God. I thank you, Lord, that because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in your blood, that they can be declared not guilty. But also with that declaration, God, we know that even after we've been made righteous, God, that in the flesh there's going to be a battle and a war that takes place. And so, God, if they're guilty about something from something that they've done, God, and they're feeling bad about it, God, I pray that you would lead them in this moment, God. Lead them to repentance. Lead them to confess, God, to you, Lord, to be cleared, God, to be cleansed of all unrighteousness, and then lead them forward in a renewed, sanctified life, that they would continue that process with you, God, with your cooperation and with your power, Lord, to set themselves apart every day, taking up their cross and following you. Father, we love you, and we're grateful for your generous Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you so much, Pastor. Hey, love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you again. Like, share, subscribe, and we'll see you the next time.